News Network.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth?
No worries anymore.
Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
Welcome back to TNN, the dog days of summer. Boy, August is here and it's rolling along and it's hot outside. It's hot everywhere. We in Louisiana, we just got a little bit of a cool snap. It's only 91 degrees. We've had 106 degrees, the real temperature in the last few days. So summer is here. August is here, and it's supposed to be hot. So it is. Talk about getting hot elsewhere in America. Boy, the media stays hot. American media. Today's title, not your friend. Why does it seem we find it necessary to concentrate on the mainstream American media at least half the time? Some say conservatives do so just because conservatives cannot stand media criticism. Others say it is because media report the truth and conservatives refuse to accept facts. Neither of those is true. The fact that these two explanations are the most common given about Americans' media distrust illustrates just how out of touch mainstream media is and how smart American voters really are. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. Here are 11 examples, recent examples, of news lunacy. One, the New York Times' Paul Krugman claimed on the day of President Trump's historic landslide victory that the economy would never recover. He's supposed to be a learned economist, Paul Krugman. Obviously, dead wrong. Number two, ABC News' Brian Ross chokes and sends markets in a downward spiral with a false report. Three, CNN falsely reported that candidate Donald Trump and his son Donald J. Trump Jr. had access to hacked documents from WikiLeaks. Four, Time magazine falsely reported that President Trump removed a bust of Martin Luther King Jr. from the Oval Office. Five, Washington Post falsely reported the president's massive sold-out rally in Pensacola, Florida was empty. The dishonest reporter showed a picture of the empty arena hours before the crowd even started pouring in. It was a sellout with standing room only. Six, CNN falsely edited a video to make it appear President Trump defiantly overfed fish during a visit with the Japanese prime minister. Japanese prime minister actually led the way with the feeding. The president did exactly the same thing. Seven, CNN falsely reported about Anthony Scaramucci's meeting with a Russian, but retracted it due to a significant breakdown in the process. Eight, Newsweek falsely reported that Polish First Lady Agata Kornhauser-Duda did not shake President Trump's hand. Nine, CNN falsely reported that former FBI Director James Comey would dispute President Trump's claim that he was told he is not under investigation. 10. The New York Times falsely claimed on the front page that the Trump administration had hidden a climate report. 11. And last but not least, Russian collusion. Russian collusion, perhaps the greatest hoax perpetrated on the American people so far. There is no collusion. Those are just a few of the hundreds of examples of the ridiculous reporting Americans struggle with daily. Why should Americans believe in news reporting? Why should Americans believe any news reports? So let's just open Pandora's box a little bit wider and share the most ridiculous reporting from just 2017. Later in the summer, we'll take you through 2018, starting in order working backwards from December 26, 2017. Here is a partial of our catalog of 2017's shoddiest political reporting. Now remember, we're starting late in 2017, working back towards January of 2017. December 26th, stop making fun of me. The claim, Republicans funded the Trump-Russia dossier. The source, CNN's Evan Perez. The facts: GOP donor Paul Singer contracted Fusion GPS via the Washington Free Beacon during the 2016 primaries to perform opposition research on Trump and the other Republican candidates. The research that was done for that specific project is ultimately unrelated to the so-called Russia dossier. December 21st, dismissed. The claim: a judge has dismissed a suit accusing President Trump of profiting through his office, ruling that the president had not violated the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The source? The New York Times. The facts? The judge didn't quite clear Trump of the charges. Rather, the judge said he found the plaintiffs lacked standing. That's a small thing, and this isn't really a major mistake on the Times' part. That said, the reason this since-corrected misfire is so notable is that it stands as one of the extremely rare examples of a media misstep that favored Trump. December 19th, begging the begin. The claim: the GOP begged Democrats to work with them on tax reform, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That came from a headline published by The Hill. The facts? She said no such thing. Rather, Sanders said Democrats should have been begging the GOP to work with them on the Hill. December 18th, off the rails. The claim: a deadly Amtrak derailment in Tacoma, Washington that killed three people is another example of how the GOP puts tax cuts for the wealthy ahead of funding for infrastructure and technology advancements that could save lives. That came from a tweet by MSNBC's Joy Reid that ended up being shared by more than 10,000 social media users. The facts: the derailment happened on a new track built specifically for a brand new high-speed rail. Reid issued a correction eventually, noting the facts of the deadly derailment. December 15th, how Orwellian. The claim: under the Trump administration, the CDC has issued a list of banned words including fetus, transgender, vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, evidence-based, and science-based. That came from the Washington Post. The facts? There is no ban. There was no attempt by right-leaning ideologues to strip supposedly politically charged language from the CDC's lexicon. Rather, some bureaucrats suggested that certain words be removed from budget proposals so as to ensure specific programs would get requested funding. The Times confirmed some details of the report with several officials, although a few suggested that the proposal was not so much a ban on words, but recommendations to avoid some language to ease the path toward budget approval by Republicans, the paper reported. December 12th, Fox overhype. The claim: Fox News has obtained roughly 10,000 messages sent by two anti-Trump FBI officials previously involved in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. That, the source, Fox News. The facts: Fox obtained the same 375 texts that were made available to Congress and the press prior to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's testimony before Congress. The cable news network did not, in fact, have access to additional materials that could have gone a long way to disquieting concerns regarding the fact that the tech scandal hinges entirely on out-of-context excerpts taken from private conversations spanning several months. December 11th, Pentagon with a wind. The claim: the Pentagon says it will allow transgender people to enlist in the military beginning January 1st, despite Trump's opposition. That came from the Associated Press. The facts? Nope. Just confirmed with the lead lawyer on this case. This tweet is wrong. The Pentagon will respect a court order requiring transgender enlistment on January 1. That's it. The order will likely be appealed before then, reported Slate's Mark Joseph Stern. No, the Pentagon did not overrule Trump on the trans troops ban, he added. I suppose the tweet could be technically correct under an extremely generous reading of it, but even then, highly irresponsible because anyone without our background knowledge of the case would misunderstand it. From December 8th, audience size: Twitter is the best Twitter. The claim: President Trump appeared before a nearly empty arena in December to stump for Republican Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. The source? The Washington Post and their writer, David Weigel. The facts. Weigel shared a picture on Twitter claiming President Trump's appearance on behalf of Moore had attracted a pitifully small crowd. Weigel was wrong, and the picture he shared was taken prior to the rally's official start time. Weigel deleted the inaccurate claim and apologized. December 8th, a colossal screw-up. The claim, Donald Trump and his inner circle received advance notice during the 2016 presidential election of WikiLeaks plans to dump thousands of hacked emails belonging to Democrat National Committee staffers and Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The source? CNN, MSNBC, and CBS News. All three. The facts. The email that supposedly showed the 2016 GOP nominee and his team received advance notice of the email dump was actually sent after the hacked correspondences were made publicly available. CBS, MSNBC, and CNN each reported separately that Trump and his team were given a heads up, according to an email sent on September 4th. In reality, the email in question was sent on September 14th, after the emails were published online. December 5th and 6th, Deutsche Mark, the claim. Special counsel Robert Mueller has subpoenaed President Trump's bank records. The source, Bloomberg News and the Wall Street Journal. The facts, both newsrooms eventually walked back their supposed scoops, and the stories that remain are now about Trump associates. Trump's Deutsche Bank records said to be subpoenaed by Mueller read the original Bloomberg headline. A day later, Bloomberg amended the story and the headline so that it now reads, Deutsche Bank records said to be subpoenaed by Mueller. The Wall Street Journal, for its part, published a headline originally titled, Trump's Deutsche Bank records subpoenaed by Mueller. That headline was corrected eventually to read, Mueller subpoenas Deutsche Bank records related to Trump. December 4th, another huge Russia scoop. The claim. Former Deputy National Security Advisor K.T. McFarlane appears to have lied to Congress this summer when she testified about disgraced General Michael Flynn's communications with the Russians, according to her personal emails. That came from the New York Times. The facts. The Times has amended the article heavily since publication so that it is now mostly innuendo. The initial references to the emails have been removed. And the story now leans mostly on Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, who only questions whether McFarlane was forthright in her congressional testimony. The report's core message has been softened considerably since its initial publication. Where the headline once declared that McFarlane contradicted herself on Russia contacts, and that's a quote, the story now reads, a leading Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee questioned on Monday whether a high-ranking official in Trump's transition team had been deceptive over the summer about her knowledge of discussions between Michael T. Flynn. The article, which was once sure of itself, now eases away from its original message by stating McFarlane might have given false testimony in her answers. That's not to say the article doesn't try to pin something on the former deputy national security advisor. The wink-wink seen in the original version of the story is still there. The language is just less certain. December 3rd, hatched from thin air. The claim, Senator Orrin Hatch is largely uninterested in rescuing funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program because he believes sick and lazy children do not deserve government aid. The source? Journalists Twitter, including MSNBC's Joe Scarborough, Newsweek's Kurt Eichenwald, and the Los Angeles Times' Jamil Smith. The facts. Hatch said no such thing. Hatch said no such thing. Did you hear that? Hatch said no such thing. It's pretty simple. Let's go back to December 2nd. A huge Russia scoop. The claim, K.T. McFarlane conceded in a private December 29th email that Russia tipped the 2016 presidential election in Donald Trump's favor. The source? Of course, the New York Times. The facts. McFarlane did indeed write that Russia has just thrown the USA election to Trump. However, as Times report itself noted, she most likely said this in a paraphrase of Democratic criticisms of the Trump administration. The White House certainly denied she wrote it in earnest. The Times' breathless handling of a single excerpt from her emails nevertheless set off a news cycle alleging McFarland had actually conceded Russia stole the U.S. election for Trump. Instead, she was quoting a liberal news outlet and what they said. December 2nd, a Kushner job. The claim, Kushner ordered Flynn to contact the Russians. The source, a headline published by The Hill. The facts, White House senior advisor and Trump son-in-law Jared Kushner reportedly ordered General Flynn during the transition period to contact Russian officials about a certain UN resolution. That's it. The headline suggests something much more ominous, more sinister, but it's just not there. That's standard procedure during a transition. December 1st, lobbyists everywhere. The claim, more than 6,000 lobbyists worked on GOP tax reform bill. The source, a headline published by The Hill. The facts, the report itself notes that there are 11,000 active lobbyists in the nation's capital, and more than half of them, 6,243, have reported working on taxes this year. It's not quite the same thing as working specifically on the GOP tax bill. December 1st, Flynn, ABC News, and Brian Ross. The claims, former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn is prepared to testify that, as a candidate, Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians. The source, ABC News, Brian Ross, and we know about his speckled past regarding the truth. The facts, the reference directive came after the 2016 election. The president-elect reportedly ordered his transition team to contact Russia and other world leaders regarding the incoming administration's foreign policy objectives, which is standard for incoming presidents during a transition. It took ABC 8 hours to issue a correction. When it did, it characterized it incorrectly as a clarification. Ross was suspended for his error and subsequently banned from any further coverage of the president. November 30th, plagiarist not. The claim, Ivanka Trump plagiarized one of her own speeches during her visit to India. The source, Newsweek. The facts, Ivanka Trump didn't plagiarize anything. She referenced her earlier original speeches. That's called repeating yourself. The Newsweek story has since been amended so that the headline now reads, Ivanka Trump recycles one of her own speeches in India. The article also includes an editor's note that reads, the headline of this story was changed to reflect that Trump reused portions of an earlier speech rather than plagiarizing it. How do you plagiarize yourself anyway? November 9th, not a first. The claim, Trump is the first president since George H.W. Bush to fail to take questions from reporters alongside his Chinese counterpart on his first visit to China. The source, CNN's Jeremy Diamond. The facts, Trump is the first U.S. president since the last U.S. president to take no questions during the first trip to China. Former President Barack Obama took no questions with the Chinese president during their first meeting in China. How does somebody come up with stuff like that? Just out of thin air. November 6th, Japan and cars. The claim, President Trump doesn't know Japan already builds cars in the United States. The source, CNN. The facts, the president is definitely aware Japanese businesses build cars in the U.S. We have a couple of the great folks from two of the biggest auto companies in the world that are building new plants and doing expansions of other plants, Trump said in his address to Japanese business leaders on November 6th. I also want to recognize the business leaders in the room whose confidence in the United States. They've been creating jobs. You have such confidence in the U.S. and you've been creating jobs for our country for a long, long time. He added, several Japanese automobile industry firms have been really doing a job, and we love it when you build cars. If you're a Japanese firm, we love it. Try building your cars in the U.S. instead of shipping them over. November 6th, don't be so coy. The claim, President Trump embarrassed himself in Japan when he dumped all of his fish food during the ceremonial feeding of the palace koi. That came from CNN, the New York Daily News, The Guardian, and many more. And as we mentioned earlier, he was just mimicking what the Japanese prime minister was doing himself. from November 2nd, kill him two times, the claim. The fact that Donald Trump called for the death penalty for vehicular terrorist Saifullo Saipov, but not for the white man who carried out the Las Vegas shooting, suggests the U.S. president is probably racist. The source? GQ magazine. The facts. Trump probably hasn't called for the death penalty for Stephen Paddock because the Las Vegas shooter is already dead. Meanwhile, the man who killed eight people in New York City on October 31st is still very much alive. October 19th, flunking a true statement. The claim, no, the Clintons were not paid millions by Russia. The source, Newsweek. The facts. Yes, the Clintons have accepted millions of dollars from Russian entities. No, Newsweek's supposed fact check came in response to a tweet from President Trump that read, Russia sent millions to Clinton Foundation. He is not wrong. And the Newsweek article acknowledges just as much. It acknowledges that former President Bill Clinton received a generous $500,000 speaking fee in 2010 from a Kremlin-linked bank with ties to Uranium One, a Canadian uranium company that had mines in the U.S. The Newsweek article also acknowledges a separate New York Times report that showed Uranium One's chairman donated approximately $2.35 million to the Clinton Foundation in four separate installments as his company was being acquired by a Russian nuclear energy firm called Rosatom. The Newsweek article doesn't, however, acknowledge that Uranium One owners donated an estimated $145 million to the Clinton Foundation. That particularly glaring omission is just icing on a crummy cake. October 13th, Lion Ryan. The claim, House Speaker Paul Ryan said it's on hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico to get back on its own two feet. The source, The Hill, MSNBC's Joy Reid, Now This News' Matt Sirocco, SB Nation's Mark Nomenden. The facts? Ryan wasn't being callous about the situation in Puerto Rico, nor did he dismiss the issue as merely a problem for the small, unincorporated U.S. territory. There's a humanitarian crisis that has to be attended to, and this is an area where the federal government has a responsibility, and we're acting on it. This is Paul Ryan speaking. Yes, we need to make sure that Puerto Rico can begin to stand on its own two feet, he said. He added, they've already had tough fiscal problems to begin with, the House Speaker told reporters. We've got to do more to help Puerto Rico rebuild its own economy so that it can be self-sufficient. How did they miss that far? October 2nd, the mentally ill and guns. The claim, Republicans have made it easier for the mentally ill to buy guns. The source, an oldie recycled most recently by Washington Post columnist E.J. Dion and Politico's Michael Grunwald. The facts? This is a malicious smear. Here's what happened. Congress voted to overturn a last-minute Obama-era regulation that would give the Social Security Administration the power to revoke a person's Second Amendment rights based on whether he receives disability for a mental impairment that keeps him from working or if he uses a representative payee to help manage their benefits. The repeal of the Obama-era regulation doesn't allow people to buy guns who have been properly adjudicated by a court of law as mentally ill or unstable, as my Washington Examiner colleague David Fredoso explained at the time. The Obama-era rule was designed to take away people's rights without due process of law. It would have flagged the names of people who, for example, have an anxiety disorder or depression which keeps them from working, and who, as the SSA puts it, needs help in managing their personal money affairs, he added. As the many non-political mental health and autism advocacy groups that supported the House action noted, there is no link between these factors and a propensity for violence. Republican lawmakers were joined in their opposition to the regulation by a number of disability and civil liberty advocacy groups, including the American Association of People with Disabilities, the ARC of the United States, the Association of Mature American Citizens, the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the National Council on Disability, the National Disability Rights Network, and the American Civil Liberties Union. Like the GOP, these organizations held that the Obama gun regulations posed a threat to civil liberties. They also argued that the now defunct regulations stigmatized the disabled. The opposition wasn't about making it easier for the mentally unstable to get their hands on firearms. Only an intentionally uncharitable read of the issue would take someone to that conclusion. The opposition was about restoring due process rights to people caught up in the now-defunct regulations' overly broad guidelines. October 2nd, gun lift. The claim, the House is voting to lift restrictions on gun suppressors just days after a mass shooting event in Clark County, Nevada, left 58 dead and hundreds more wounded. The source? CNN chief national security correspondent and former Obama State Department official Jim Sciotto, NBC News' Rebecca Sanchez, and Mike's Emily C. Singer. The facts? The House had no plans that week to address H.R. 3668, which includes a provision that would loosen federal restrictions on gun suppressors. It never did. This story appears to have originated with a San Francisco Chronicle report titled, "Pair of Pro-Gun Bills on Move in-House." The article suggests the House could pass the SHARE Act as soon as this week, but it never provides proof of this claim. The closest that the report gets to backing the allegation is when it cites House Minority Leader Representative Nancy Pelosi, who said last week that the House had the votes to pass H.R. 3668. A review of the House's legislative itinerary for the week beginning October 2nd showed the measure was not scheduled for consideration. A handout provided to reporters on September 29th by the Office of Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy's, which is responsible for setting the House legislative agenda, also showed no signs of the SHARE Act. A source in McCarthy's office also confirmed the bill was never slated for consideration that week. In short, this particular narration is a total fabrication. And it just gets deeper, folks, and deeper and deeper. We're going to summarize this first couple of months right after this on the Truth News Network.
To celebrate 40 years of karaoke, Subway and Coke bring you the Sweet Onion Chicken Teriyaki Deal. Take it away.
Sweet Onion Chicken Teriyaki. And a nice cold Coke, too. You know it only costs $2.99. My, that price makes it taste super fine.
For a chance to win £1,000 or even sing our next ad, go to valueworthsingingabout.com. Subway, eat fresh. Participation and prices may vary.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
Truth, justice, the American way. The Truth News Network. Once again, here's Dan Newman.
Well, folks, this is a lengthy summary of not all, but a lot of the most glaring media misses from the year 2017. And we told you, you know, we started at December 26 working backwards. We told you that we'd go all the way back to the beginning of 2017. We're 28 minutes into this show. We're not going to do that today. And let me tell you what we're going to do. At the bottom of this post, this story on the truthnewsnet.org website, the homepage, the bottom of this story, we're going to post a link so that you can get all of the above and the rest of them for everything September going back to January of 2017. It's voluminous. It is unbelievable how much junk is shoved down our throats by the American mainstream media. We're just going to stop right here. But here's the point of all this. We cannot trust the mainstream media for the truth. It's that simple. It's horrible to think that is the way that it is, but that is the way that it is. In America today, we just can't believe them. I've said this before and I'll say it now. We must research the truth on our own. We, you and me, have got to come up with the facts ourselves. We can't trust those guys. What we've got to do, and this is difficult, it can be time consuming, but you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, You owe it to the people that you work with, the people that you work for, your friends, your relatives. You've got to start at what you hear and do some research on your own. There are plenty of resources in which you will find the truth on any item, but you got to look. And of course, don't forget, you can always come right back here to the Truth News Network. We never tell you what to think. We give you things to think about. And if you have questions about any issue, even the ones that we don't discuss here on the Truth News Network, just send me an email. Ask me a question. I'll not only give you an answer, I'll give you a truthful answer and give you the source that you can go to. We're researching all the time anyway. We definitely don't mind including you in the research and helping you get some truths every day. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us here today. Don't forget, all of those examples of mainstream news falsehoods, plus all the rest of them for the previous 9 months of 2017, it's in the article, the link at the bottom of the story, this story at the Truth News Network. Thank you for being our friend and part of our family. We do this almost every day, and we're glad you're along. See you later, folks.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.